Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Sarah Bragg. In an age where everyone else's successes are flaunted in front of you on social media, it can be a struggle to feel true happiness and contentment exactly where you are. Throw in difficult circumstances, loss, heartbreak, change, midlife, and it's easy to understand why you feel lonely, lost, unsure of yourself, stuck, and if you're honest with yourself, flat out unhappy. Sarah's chatting about her book, Is Everyone Happier Than Me? She provides practical and relatable answers to the questions you've probably already been asking about your life and poses a few more to help you figure out what's standing in the way of your happiness, peace, and connection. It's time to let go of the ideal of a perfect life and allow yourself to be a work in progress. And there's no better time to find happiness than right here in the middle. Sarah, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Hi, I'm happy to spend a little bit of the afternoon with you.
Yeah, I am so excited about today's conversation. I just shared with you before I hit record that I was with a group of retired women. We were planning a church retreat, and I mentioned that I was going to have this conversation with you and the title of your book. And in unison, all of them were like, oh, that sounds so good. Happiness is something that we all blunt. And I just love that so much about this topic and about, you know, what we're going to be sharing and talking about today, because it is something I think that we would all in unison say, yes, I want to be happier, but we wonder, is everybody else happier than we are? And so I'm so excited to dive into this. So in your mid 40s, you found yourself wide awake at night, scrolling through the Rolodex of your fears, you say. So I'd love for you just to tell us about the season that you were in.
Yeah. You know, I actually felt a lot like when my girls, they're not little anymore. They're about 14 and 16. So we're in that season. But when my oldest was six, she went through sort of her own version of her Rolodex of fears at night. And she'd wake up every night screaming. And every night it was something different. You know, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of fire. I'm afraid of like someone's breaking in the house or something, like every night. And so I found myself working with her during the daytime to tackle those fears that she faced at night. So we would come up with a plan, you know, well, if there were a fire, here's what we would do. So just, you know, she still would wake in, she'd be afraid, but something was comforting to know we had talked about it ahead of time in the daylight when our brains are, you know, rightful thinking at night, or we're usually not, you know, we're just out of sorts when we're afraid. And so I found myself sort of in that same season, like my daughter, all these years later, when I was in my mid 40s, waking up in the night, usually around 3 a.m. And instead of falling back asleep, I would find myself just sort of ruminating on different anxieties, different fears, different questions that would come up at night. And often it was questions that my middle school girls, when they were in middle school, they were asking the same kind of questions. Is everyone happier than me? Does anybody like me? Do I matter? Am I invisible? I was just asking these questions because really it was highlighting a season of life for me, a season of change. And often change has a way of ushering in these uncertain feelings and fears, because it's now unknown where you are, something's new. And so I was really sort of in that season of coming off of 2020, when life was just turned upside down and we moved states and our girls started new schools. And I turned 42 at that point, and my body started changing and was acting differently than it had ever acted before. And so I just really found myself asking those questions. And so it kind of sent me on this journey, I guess, if you will, this kind of quest to dig deep into those questions and to get curious about why I was asking them, what were the feelings going on with those questions, and what I really wanted. What I really wanted was to find some sense of happiness. And so I started digging into those questions to find a sense of peace and happiness and connection where I was.
Yeah. Well, what is it about the night? And honestly, Sarah, I've been waking up at 3 a.m. Like, this is something, and I'm in my mid 40s. I'm like, whoa, this is especially, I guess I really need this conversation. And I wake up, even the other night, I heard this sound and I thought it was like a mouse or something.
Yes.
And I literally was having this conversation with myself. My husband wasn't home. He was still at work.
And I thought, why am I scared of a mouse? You know, like I'm having this something so small. It is something that cannot hurt me. And so my husband finally comes home from working and it's like 1 a.m. And he's like, Rachel, that's the rain on the gutter. Right. It's not a mouse. And I was so, you know, torn up and wide awake. And of course, your mind goes a million other places. And I think, isn't that so true of all of our thoughts, really? We something so small, we get so wrapped up in, and something that probably can never happen, but we just go on this wild, you know, rabbit trail of toxic thoughts that just continue to spiral out of control if we don't have somebody in our lives that says, stop, it's just this, or this won't happen, or like, let's renew our mind. So, okay. So moving on, that was a rabbit trail of my own.
Now I'm like afraid of, I'm with you on the mice thing. I will always, as you're talking, this is total sidebar, but I remember being early 20 something and I was moving the next day to California. And so I had all my stuff packed in my room, boxes and bags. And I woke up in the middle of the night to my cat chasing a mouse through my room, and it was like jumping from like box to box to box. And I was, it just brings up so many just thinking about mice. Oh gosh.
So mice do not make us happy.
No,
but
no. I'm gonna put an addendum into the book and add some stories about that.
But so at what point, I mean, I know you're talking about like kind of this conversation with the Lord and like, you know, just kind of processing all these things and this tension, but how did you pinpoint, okay, it's happiness that I'm seeking after. And like, I'm going to embark on this search for happiness. This is what I want to do. I mean, it reminds me real quick of The Happiness Project. Did you ever read that book?
Oh yeah. That was part of my like searching. I read tons of books on happiness. But to go back to before I even read those books, what got me to that point was I was just feeling so angsty. So I was finding myself like getting frustrated at everything, everyone, whether it was my family or like the person driving in the car in front of me, whatever it was, I was just so angsty and frustrated. Or I would open social media and be angry and jealous and insecure. And I didn't like those feelings. I felt all the negative feelings. I felt sadness a lot. People would ask me again, because I had just launched my last book and then we moved and my girl, all these great things. We lived on a house with property, all these things. And people are like, are you just so happy? And inside I was just like, no, I am not happy. Like, this is hard. And I have experienced a lot of loss and a lot of sadness. And so I was feeling like I was sort of lying and having to tell people that I'm actually happy when I'm not. And I didn't like how I was treating the people around me or the feelings that were rising up in me when I was just looking online or interacting with other people. And so that was really sort of the catalyst, because I was going, well, this is what I'm feeling currently, but what do I want to feel? Well, I want to feel happy. I wanted to feel different than that. I didn't want to feel those things anymore. So I sort of went on this journey about happiness. And like I said, I read all the books. I read that book. I read several books about happiness. And everything that I kept realizing in it, and happiness isn't this sort of like Zen state that we're going to, like, if we can just arrive there, we'll be there. It's not like that. What I really started to find was how at the heart of happiness, really what it is that we're craving is connection. And for me, I can look at that season in my life and I had moved away. I didn't have friends here. There was so much. I had lost some job opportunities that had come up. So a lot of the things that made me feel connected to myself and connected to others had just sort of like frazzled, you know, like they were just gone. And that's when I started going, okay, I need to find happiness, but I think it's coming down to connection. So what can I do to build connection into my life, whether that's with myself or with others, in order to find a little bit more happiness into my daily life?
You know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about so often, I mean, I have a really great life and I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed, but there are some days that I'm just like, I'm in a funk and there's no reason for it. And I even like, and I even will recognize that in myself. Like, there is no reason for you to be in a grumpy mood today, Rachel. You know, like, get over it. But yet we still have those emotions, you know, we still aren't always on cloud nine. It's not always rainbows and unicorns and cotton candy, you know? And so, but yet then I start to feel guilty because I'm like, well, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I should be happy. Do you have any, does that provoke any thought in you?
Well, for sure. But I, the thing that I came up with as you're talking that I reminded of, this is not a quote that I have written, but it's one that I've read, is no feeling is final. And I think that's just how it is. Like, whether it's a sad feeling, like you're feeling grumpy or discontent or whatever it might be, or you're feeling happy and peaceful and at ease, no feeling is final. That's just sort of feelings. That's just how it goes to be human. You know, there's so many things that are even going on within your body that you can't see that contribute to you feeling a certain way. I mean, for sure, women in their 40s and 50s are feeling all kinds of feelings because of our hormones. And I can't necessarily like control that. Like, that's just kind of how it's going to go. And so I feel like getting to the realization that, you know, feelings aren't the enemies. You know, having bad, you know, negative feelings doesn't mean I'm a bad person, or having, oh, I've got to always have this good feeling. I've always got to be this, like, you know, I think kind of cutting yourself some slack and going, I am human. And then when you're feeling, like you said, like, I'm feeling really grateful about my life, like acknowledging that gratitude, paying attention to that, calling attention to the things that you're grateful for. Even when you're feeling unhappy, that's a practice that I do that helps me to come back to, but I am grateful because I know that gratitude is connected to joy. So I want to feel that. So I'm going to be grateful for what I have. And then when you're feeling the negative feelings, to not just let them stay in your head, but to get them out, you know, whether that's journaling or talking to someone, but getting them out of your head, no feeling is final. So it's, you're knowing you're going to ebb and flow through all of those. Feelings aren't the enemy. You know, that's just part of being human.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. No feelings are final. I think that there's so much truth to that. And, you know, I was actually reading in the Psalms today, and because I've been trying to read the Bible in 90 days, so I'm like just really going through the Psalms. And I just kept thinking all day today, like, oh my gosh, David and Solomon, these men, these writers had such hard feelings and they were just giving all their emotions. Like, how long, oh Lord, is this going to last? And, you know, everybody's against me and woe is me. And I mean, but then it always goes back to, but God is faithful and I'm going to still praise him. And so I think that we shouldn't feel guilty for the emotions, the natural emotions that we have. And even last night at church, our pastor was talking about how Jesus had anger. He had righteous anger at the money changers. And so the sin is when we sin in our anger, but it's actually not a sin to be angry. God has given us these emotions and it's important to almost embrace them and not just sweep them under the rug, which I feel like we have a tendency to do. Do you think, talk to us more about emotion. Processing emotions. It's really difficult, but we need to do this. It's so important.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of, I think it's changing for the generations that are younger than ours, like the children that we are raising. But I do think that we grew up in a time period that you weren't supposed to show your emotions, that you heard a lot of negativity. Oh, she's so emotional. Or don't trust your heart. Don't listen to your feelings. Like, it was so much negativity and so about emotions. When again, the truth is, like, they're just part of being human. Like, it's just part of being human. And so we need to not be afraid. We can still seek wisdom. We can still check our emotions. It doesn't, just because I'm, you know, angry at this thing doesn't mean I need to go do this thing like about it. Like, I need to still, like, I can still say, but I'm angry about it, or I'm sad about this. And that's where it's like, you just need to learn to be able to acknowledge our feelings. I think that we've been a generation that is sort of emotional illiterate. I know the first time I ever went to a counselor and she said, what are you feeling? And I was like, I don't know. Like, sad, like, and she pulled out this giant chart of feelings, and I was like, that's like 800 words. Like, there's that many feelings. I was just like, I don't know what. I know like two, like sad and angry. Like those are the two feelings I know. And so I just think we're sort of emotionally illiterate. And so I think there's something about changing our perspective about that and going, okay, emotions aren't bad. They're a very normal part of being human, the whole range of emotions. And then learning to name it, say, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling disappointed. It's okay to feel disappointed in life. It is okay to get to a point you go, gosh, I have been, you know, working this to get to this point and it's just not going to happen. It's okay to be disappointed. But we want to move through those. We don't want to just stay and be disappointed and fester and let that grow. We want to move through it. And so I just think there's something powerful about being able to acknowledge what you feel and don't feel shame for feeling that and then move through it. And part of moving through that is that sort of fact checking. You know, I like to say, okay, the story I'm telling myself is, and I fill in the blank about whatever that is, whatever that feeling is driving it or that story. And then I sort of fact check it. I hold that up against what I know to be true. And then I kind of process it from there. Again, I don't want to stay feeling disappointed forever. I don't want to live in that or make decisions based on that. But feeling disappointed in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's not something that we should feel shame for feeling. Again, it's just a feeling and it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to hear, you know, we're acknowledging our feelings. It's okay to feel. No feeling is final. Mm-hmm. But we still want to. We don't want to stay there. We don't want to stay in those places of disappointment, anger, sadness, hurt. We want to be happy. And so How have you, in your research and quest for happiness, what did you discover happiness really boils down to?
Yeah. Well, it, you know, like I said, it really boils down to connection. So for me, when I can look at the season that sort of put me on this path to find this, I was really disconnected. And so I think that we have to start, I don't know, taking note of the questions that we're asking tonight, you know, question about like the question, first question, is everyone happier than me? So much of that boiled down to, I was looking around at everyone else, comparing my life to theirs, and then just feeling like I'm missing out. And so I wanted to get curious about that. Okay, well, what it really is, what is my gratitude? I need to work on gratitude with where I am. But I also need to put up guardrails for what I'm looking at that's causing me to feel that way. So that those are these kind of actions of finding connection, because, you know, when I'm feeling that angsty towards people, I'm not connecting with them. I'm not connecting with myself either. So those were some, like, I feel like every chapter is sort of like a different sort of topic in and of itself, but it's, you know, looking at what I want out of life. You know, I'm feeling unhappy. I'm feeling like no one likes me. Okay, well, that's a big one with connection. That's because, you know, I've got to tackle, why do I feel like no one likes me? What are the limiting beliefs I have about that? And then start reaching out, you know, be the person who sees people, be the person who reaches out to people, be the person who starts inviting people. And the more I started doing that, the more connected I became and the happier I became. When I was just sitting back and going, well, why is nobody asking me to that? Why is nobody, you know, including me in that? I stayed and remained in that unhappy state. But when I took the initiative and started reaching out, and reaching out in, like, you know, places, like you said, you were on this Bible study, you know, this committee where you're going to plan this retreat and you're with women who are, you know, retired age. I started playing tennis with women who are of retired age, not the people that I, you know, in my own stage of life, but man, I found a whole lot of connection by doing that. So I think we have to just kind of start looking at, what am I needing? What am I feeling? What am I needing? And start taking some baby steps towards that.
Yeah. And that can be hard. I mean, I'm an introvert. And so I 100% get it. And even we had a retreat, you know, informational meeting on Sunday. And I was amazed, you know, some women came with their group and we're all talking. And there were some women that came alone and sat in a pew alone. Right. And I was even just saying today, like, I wanted to just say, everybody come and sit together and like squeeze in and meet each other. And, you know, and you can naturally see how people have a tendency to want to stay, you know, the back row Baptist kind of thing. Right. They're not wanting to take the risk to invest themselves and to put themselves out there first and introduce themselves first. And I've noticed the same thing. Like, I several years ago, I was not super involved in the church, but then I felt like the Lord was telling me just to start a Bible study. And so I started doing that and met all these women, and then it has set into motion all these other things. But it really just, it did start with just attending a church service, or, you know, going and getting involved in this group. And then it's just, it's snowballed. And I have found now that sense of connection within my church, and it has made me so much happier.
Yes.
To come in on a Sunday morning and be able to give, you know, say hello to 10 or 15 faces, you know, and get a hug and be encouraged and get prayed for and have people send texts. Yeah. And it really does make a big difference. And so I would encourage everybody listening, take the risk, go ahead and step out in faith and just do the one, even if it's a text, even if it's a little invitation, like just do something to make that connection point. Is that what you kind of found?
Oh yeah.
As you know, like some of the changes that you made personally that helped you to increase your happiness. What did you do?
You know, and I get it. It's risky. It's scary. It's vulnerable to reach out because you don't know what they're going to say.
Right. I'm addicted too.
Yes. You know, I joined a couple of book clubs. One of them I helped start. And you know, I love to read, and so we were like, I think there's a lot of women here that probably are looking for a friend in this town and probably like to read books too. So let's just start a book club and see what happens. And we did. We had like 30 people show up on the first book club night. Like people want to do something like that. Or like I said, I started playing tennis again. I hadn't played tennis in 20 years and I went back to playing tennis. I think you just have to start finding those avenues of connection point. Or like a friend, she and I both moved to the same town that we grew up in at the same time, about 6 months apart from each other. And we just were like, okay, you're going to be my person. We're going to make this happen. We're going to meet for coffee every week. And doing something like that, just making it happen, putting it on the calendar, I know for me, I am happier in life when I have those connection points scheduled every single week. I'm going to play tennis every single week. I'm going to, you know, go to book club once a month. I'm going to have coffee and or walk with a friend once a week. You know, that has made all the difference for me, but it took just taking initiative and just trying and asking. And you know what? You might not hit it off with some people, and that's okay. But you got to keep trying. You got to keep searching and keep finding some sort of connection point.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, I mean, I have a husband that I can connect with. I have children that I can connect with. My mom and dad are still living, and my brothers live in my same community. And so I can connect with them, but I'm just mindful of all of the people, maybe even listening, that don't have any of the, you know, aren't married, don't have children. And then even just thinking about like, you need something outside of your home too. Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you're still a human. You're still have your own personal like needs and things that bring you joy and happiness. And so I talk about part of that for me was finding things that I used to love and going back to it and going, I need this in my life. You know, I spend so much time. My girls are at a stage of life where I'm just constantly driving them to and from things and constantly busy with their schedule. And so I knew though that I needed to intentionally do something for myself. So like whether that was going and starting to work out at a gym so that I was around people, because everything I do for myself, I'm either doing it for my family or all my work, I'm by myself doing, you know, writing or podcasting and doing all of that. And so I needed to be around people. So I started going to a gym just to be around people. And so I think sometimes we just have to remember to take care of yourself. Like, what is it that you are needing in your life right now? And what is just one thing you can do to help bring a little bit of peace and happiness in that direction?
Yeah, I also, and thing you mentioned the gym, and I do notice on the days that I get sunlight that I've, you know, I don't know if you've seen that. It's on Instagram. They're like, I'm really feeling sad today. And then they're like, well, did you have any water? And she's like, no. Did you go for a walk? No. Did you get any sunlight? No. Did you talk to anybody? No. Did you sleep good? Right. No. Did you read the Bible? No. I'm like, well, of course you don't feel good. Like, you didn't do any of the things that you should be doing that you know you should be doing.
Right.
And so I do find there's such a correlation with movement and food and sunlight, and it's, you know, the spiritual connection, you know, you're talking about connection with people, like connection with the Lord. And of course the Lord has given us people to connect with and live life alongside. So do you find, and I've heard you mention a lot of those things throughout your time too, and like this this like outlet of creativity.
Yeah.
It really is a complex set of activities really that we should try to do a little bit of each day. Do you think?
Right. Well, and it's just, again, what brings you life? What makes you feel alive and making sure that you do that? But also just like you, the things that you mentioned are just like basic human, here's how to survive in life. You need to drink water. You need to move your body. You need sunlight. All the things that, you know, if we were living hundreds, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, we would have just naturally happened, you know, but we have all the privileges that we have of the house and the work. We can be inside and we can do all these things. We have to work a little harder to build those basic human needs into our life. But I think that's a great place to start. When you are feeling this way, let's go like back to the simplest thing. Like you said, am I getting outside? Am I walking? Am I talking to people? Am I feeding myself well? Just really kind of going down the list of like those basic needs. And, you know, like, or, you know, even like the spiritual connection, am I journaling? Am I feeling connected in that way, spiritually, and checking them off. And if it's not, that's a giant highlighter to go, okay, I need to start adding that back into my life tomorrow. Like we're going to wake up and try something different tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I keep going back to the retreat, I guess, cause it's fresh in my mind, but there's one of the ladies is a, she teaches Pilates. And so she's like, oh, it'd be really neat to do a sunrise stretch. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, then this whole other group of ladies are like, ugh, we don't want to do it. Wake up early and do a sunrise stretch. That sounds terrible. And so I do think, you know, because you mentioned it, there is, you know, what makes some people happy is not going to make other people happy. You know, we are all really different and have different personalities and different, you know, likes and preferences. And so going back to comparison, you know, you can't look and even be listening to Sarah and I right now and, you know, and think, well, I should do exactly what they did, because that's not, it's going to be very individual.
Yes. Well, and that's what, like, I wish that my book was this three-step process. If you just do these three things, you will be happy all the time. It's just not that way. But I do feel like I give you some things to think about, some, you know, questions to figure out what that looks like for you. Here's what worked for me. Try it. Maybe there's something else that works for you. I feel like it's kind of getting at the, but at the root, we're feeling this way and we don't want to feel this way anymore. So we've got to try something. So I think you're right. I think it looks different for everyone. And it probably looks different for you even in seasons. You know, when I was single and I didn't have kids, it looked different than it does now. So I think that it's just going to always ebb and flow.
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, on this idea of comparison, like, is everybody else happy? You know, and the answer is probably not. I mean, truthfully, they're probably not either. They're just putting on a good face. But do you think social media has just given this false perception that maybe everybody is happy and we're the only ones that aren't?
Yeah, I definitely think that that affects us. I mean, it's the highlight reel of everyone's life. We're only going to post the good things. No one's posting really the bad things, or the hard things. And not to mention now it's where like advertisers go to play. And so we're going to obviously see all the good and the things that we need or the things that will make my life better. And so I definitely think social media has an effect. I took about a 4-month hiatus from social media. And it was really beneficial for me to, I realized how much time I was spending on social media. But it was just causing so much angst in me. It was every time I'd look at it, I would just walk away feeling less than, you know, feeling jealous and insecure. And yes, I felt a little bit like, gosh, what, when I was off of it, I was like, gosh, what is happening? Like, I haven't, you know, am I missing on something? But what I realized is the people that I really wanted to know about their life, I could call them, I could text them, and I could find out what was going on in their life. Like, it almost even led this false sense of connection. I could see what you're doing, Rachel, in your life, but did I really know what you were doing, right? Did I really know you? But the people that I really wanted to know and the people that would be in my life if something hard really happened, I could connect with them outside of social media. And so that really spoke volumes to me on who is really in my life and who is really going to be there for me if things are hard, not just in the good times. And so it did a lot of wonders for me to take that solid break. It's almost like having some guardrails up. So, maybe that looks like taking a break from social media, or maybe it means putting, you know, time limits, just like we put, you know, time limits on our kids for certain apps or TV screen time or whatever you might do for your kids. The same is true for us. We need guardrails. We need limits and restrictions to help guard us when we know we're going to, you know, slide right on down into the comparison and the angsty feelings.
Yeah. So after the, after you've written this book and you've kind of put into practice some of the practical application steps that you've talked about and shared with us today, what would you say now to the question, is everybody happier than me?
I think we're all feeling a little bit of unhappiness in what it is. I don't think it's just me that everybody else is happier than me, but I think we're all searching for that sense of happiness. We're all searching for connection. And so I think it's time to like start putting into action some of those things and to start figuring out how to build in peace and happiness and connection into my daily life, because, you know, we can keep just scrolling and looking and feeling angsty and thinking, I guess everybody else is, you know, happier than me. Everybody else has a better life than me, or we can really start to enjoy the one that we have.
Yeah. I feel like there's a level of maybe contentment that comes into play here, and like the gratitude, like you mentioned earlier, I need to be grateful for what I have and content with what I've been given, the place that God's put me, with the people that he's given me. I think that if we're constantly looking and looking at everybody else's life, then we are going to be unhappy because we're wanting their lives instead of ours.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that is when you can get to the place. And again, just because, you know, contentment doesn't mean that, you know, if you're in this horrible state, you're like, I'm just so happy to be here. It's not really, you know, that you can still be, like we said, feel sad about where you are or disappointed that something didn't happen like you wanted it to happen. But at the end of the day, the thing that that spiritual practice of gratitude really goes a long way, even when you're feeling even when you're feeling disappointed, to be happy where you are, to be able to sit and go, gosh, what made me smile yesterday? The sunset, you know, our time around the dinner table, like the book that I read, like you can just go down into the smallest, most ordinary things that made you smile, that you're grateful for. That goes a long way in our sense of contentment with where we are.
Yeah, I do find that it typically is little things. Mm-hmm. If you really start to even make a list of things that make you happy, it really is like the morning cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Like the dogs, you know, wagging their tails and greeting you at the door, and, you know, like the little piece of dark chocolate. I don't know.
Exactly. I'm for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, if you can just try to find enjoyment in those little things and maybe not take them for granted, I think that will be really helpful as well. So I want to be mindful for the woman that today she's just like, I'm feeling really unhappy, and I just am. And so how would you encourage her today?
Yeah, I would encourage her that I see you, I feel that, and you're not alone in that. And then I would say, you know, start to do some introspective work on why you're feeling this way. What's underneath this feeling? And what can you do about it? So, you know, and get out of your head, journal it, talk to a friend, talk to a counselor, something like that to help if you need help navigating and asking the right questions to figure out what is going on underneath where you are.
Yeah. I do think there's so much, yes, let's understand our feelings, but we also can be responsible. We're not victims, you know, to certain things, and we don't have to just live in this state forever. And so, you know, like there's so much to the renewing of your mind and like, okay, I'm having this thought. No, I'm going to stop it. And I'm going to combat these lies, these things that are going on in our minds at night at 3 a.m. And I'm going to combat that with the word of the Lord. I'm going to combat that with scripture. I'm going to combat that with truth. No, this is a lie. And what does God say about me and this journey that I'm on? And so I really think that has helped me personally as I get into a tailspin of negativity and things that I am believing that there is no truth basis to. It's just maybe insecurity or whatever I may be feeling. And so I would recommend personally just filling your mind with truth and goodness. Like, what are you saturating yourself with? Are you listening to scripture? Are you listening to worship music? Who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, you can be connecting with people, but it could be, we're supposed to love everybody, but some people might not be. I'm trying to think of a nice word to say this. Some people maybe aren't the right people to connect with all the time, and to really, you know, that maybe they're feeding into the unhappiness. Mm. Just connection for connection's sake is maybe not always great.
Yeah, that can certainly be true.
Yeah. Well, so as we come to a close, I've been asking all of my guests these last two questions, and so I'd love to hear your answer if you have one. So what is something you're loving right now, and is there a biblical concept of love based on this topic that you would want to share?
I'll start with the second question first. I think that, you know, for me, in that chapter one, I talk about creativity a lot and the need that we have for that. But I talk about even that we are created to be creative, that we were created in a creative way. You can read Genesis and see the creativity that is, you know, exuding in that. So it's no wonder that we are creative beings. So there's no, oh, I'm creative and you're not creative. We're all creative because we were created to be created. So, and that creativity is most certainly connected to our sense of happiness, of, you know, finding again what kind of makes us come alive. And then the first question about what I'm loving, I am loving playing tennis. So I'm excited. I've got a match tonight and can't wait. I'm playing a couple times a week and I'm just having the most fun doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're moving your body, you're getting sunlight, and you're connecting with people.
So yep. I mean, it's like a triple whammy. Right.
You're multitasking for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know I want to try to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to. So Sarah, tell us how we can best do that.
The website is sarahbragg.com. You can sign up for my monthly Survival Kit newsletter where I highlight all the things I read, watched, and listened to and loved that month. And then at Sarah W. Bragg on Instagram.
And Bragg is with two G's.
Yes, so. Yes, thank you.
And Sarah's with an H, right?
Yes, oh gosh, yes.
B-R-A-G-G.
Yes, yes.
Well, Sarah, let me pray for us as we close. Father, we just love you so much, and we're so thankful that you are a creative God and that you want to connect with us. And we just know that our contentment, our joy, and our happiness truly just comes from you. But we also know that you've given us people and you've given us a life to live, and you want us to live it to the full. And you've given us talents and gifts and good things to experience and things to enjoy while we're here. And so, Father, we just pray that we would live with a grateful heart, that we would live with eyes to see the goodness that you've given us and surrounded us with, but also not to feel guilt and shame for the feelings that we're having, that we know that you've given us those feelings as well. And so we just want to pay attention to those and understand maybe what the underlying issues would be, and that you would meet us in those places, and that you would bring people into our lives to help to encourage us. And that we would also just be bold to take a risk and to take initiative and to take the next action step. Some of these practical applications that Sarah's talked about today, to have movement and have connection and be creative. Father, that we would do those things, and that you would bring people into our lives that we can bless, and that they can also bless us in return. And so, Father, we just pray a special blessing over every woman listening, that you would increase her happiness, and that happiness would just spread, that your light and your love would spread wherever we go. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Sarah, as I was just praying, I was thinking there has to be some correlation in when we try to make other people happy, it makes us happy too. Have you found that?
I mean, for sure. I mean, look at if you're a mother, you know, when you do something that makes your kids so happy, it makes you happy. Yeah. Like that, I think that's very true.
Yeah. It's more blessed to give than to receive, for sure. Well, Sarah, today's conversation has made me happy. It's been wonderful to meet you. And so thanks so much for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Sarah Bragg. We pray that today helped you on your happiness journey. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the Who You Say I Am devotional. I collaborated with other writers about all the affirmations that God has about your identity so you realize who He says you are in Him. I'd love to share that resource with you at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Becky Kaiser. She's on the show chatting about how God can. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.